Well, good morning. Oh, we're balanced out now. I was going to try and balance this side. I guess the jury's still out on whether the fruits of your labor are paying off, right? We'll see afterwards. It's good to be here with you all. And do we got slides up there? Oh, here we go. Whoop! All right, we're gonna get there. There we go. All right. And the battery cover is coming off. So, anyways, it's good to be here with you all. So, my wife and I are here. My name's Rex Butts, and she's Laura Butts. So, if nothing else, you can say, finally, you've had a couple butts in your house. Right? There we go. So, I'm going to preach today from Psalm 23, as you probably figured out by now. I'm calling this message a real unique title, a word of hope, right? But I do hope that I can offer you a word of hope, a word of encouragement for your faith, because faith is always given its strength by the assurance of hope. Without hope, we lose faith, but faith is what gives assurance to our hope, and so there twined together. So we're going to pray and then we'll read Psalm 23 again. So let's pray. Father God, we are in your presence this morning. And you are good to us, God, in many ways. But you know and we know that the life we live sometimes can be difficult too. And we trust that you're present with us always, even though sometimes that might be difficult to see. And Father God, I pray right now that you would give us eyes and ears to see and hear the life you're calling us to, a life where we can trust you and trust your goodness and your mercy, as difficult as sometimes that might be. And God, I pray that you'll pour upon me the gift from your Spirit of preaching this morning so that I can preach your word with grace and with truth this morning, that your word will be heard. Whatever I say that's not your word, that it will just fall on deaf ears, so that your word to these people, to these believers here at Southside, can be heard. In the name of Jesus we pray, amen. So, we read Psalm 23 earlier. We're going to read it again. I'm going to ask you, if you can, stand up with me. Stand up with me. And let's read Psalm 23 together, all right? The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. He makes me lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside still waters. He restores my soul. He leads me in right paths for his name's sake. Even though I walk through the darkest valley, I fear no evil, for you are with me. Your rod and your staff, they comfort me. You prepare a table in the presence of my enemies. You anoint my head with oil. My cup overflows. Surely, goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life, and I shall dwell in the house of the Lord my whole life long. The word of the Lord. Be seated. All right. So, virtually everyone, maybe not everyone anymore, but in times past, virtually everyone has heard of Psalm 23. It's one of the most well-known passages of Scripture in the Bible. If John 3:16 is the most well-known Bible verse, this is the most well-known section of Scripture. Whether you're a Christian or not, whether you read the Bible or not, most people know Psalm 23. You can go to your supermarket and go to the card aisle and probably find a couple of cards there with it printed on. If you go to a memorial service, chances are on the back of the program, you will find Psalm 23 printed out. If we were in a Jeopardy game and the category was Bible for 100, Ken Jennings would say, "The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want." And all three contestants would quickly hit their hand on the button, and the lucky person would say, "What is Psalm 23? Everyone knows it. Familiarity is not a bad thing, but familiarity also comes with a risk. Because while familiarity may not lead to contempt, familiarity can lead us to a place where we hear something, you know, "Oh yeah, we've heard that before," and it just kind of glides over us, and we don't hear what it is God wants to say to us in the moment from this well-known psalm. And so we have to kind of ask, what is Psalm 23? Why is it that Psalm 23 has been such an enduring word, a word that brings hope to many people over the years? And Psalm 23 is part, if I don't want to assume that everyone is familiar with the Bible, because in my context in Newark, there I meet people every day who have never read the Bible. Psalm 23 is part of a collection of 150 psalms that are in our Bible. We call it the Psalms or the Book of Psalms. It's part of 150 psalms. In this collection of psalms, there are psalms of hope, psalms of praise, psalms of thanksgiving, but also psalms of lament, because sometimes life is outright difficult, right? Yeah. You know, and one of the things that's so wonderful about the variety of psalms that we have is because they speak to the gamut of life that we live. They give voice to the life that we all are living. And besides the Psalms, there's another line that gives us voice to the life we're living. Led Zeppelin taught us the line, "Good times, bad times, you know I've had my share," right? Most of us, hopefully all of us, can say we've had plenty of good times in life. But we probably could say there's been bad times. One of the things I tell college students is hopefully you have yet to live the best part of your life. At least I hope so, because you still got graduation come. You're going to go out, get jobs, hopefully pay pretty well. You're going to be able to one day buy a house. You're going to be able to travel to places you never thought maybe you would travel to. Most college students are going to get married. They're going to have children. Certainly, that's a good part of life. Their children, you know, graduations, birthday parties. So I tell college students, you have yet to live the best part of your life. But on the flip side, you probably have yet to live the worst part of your life. Because there are very few people who get through life without adversity, who get through life without any disappointments, any heartache, any grief and pain. I mean, if you're one of those, hey, I'm happy for you. But that's not reality for most people. Most people are going to get up one day when the telephone rings, and whoever's on the other end of the line is telling you that someone you love and care deeply for has passed away. There's probably going to come a day when the doctor tells you you got an illness and there's really nothing that we can do about it because medical research just hasn't figured out what to do. And maybe that even comes before you're 40 years old. Or you're in a wonderful career. You bought a house. And then you're told the company's downsizing. Or you get married. Nobody gets married thinking they're going to get divorced. And yet it happens. Disappointment. Brokenness. Adversity, heartache, grief. Good times, bad times. You know we've all had our share, right? The question is then, how do we walk through life? How do we walk through life when we are walking through the darkest valley? I mean, that's where the Psalm 23 is at. We're walking through the dark valley. And trying to trust that God is present with us. And just so you know that this is not just theoretical head knowledge for my wife and I. The long story's for some time later. But about 600 miles south of here in Searcy, Arkansas, there's a cemetery. And in that cemetery is the grave of our oldest son. We know what it's like to enter a dark valley. And we know what it's like for God to be with us in the dark valley, but I don't want to be misunderstood here. Because in the dark valley, there are times when it seems like God is nowhere to be found. This, you know, sometimes, you know, there's light shining in darkness, but sometimes in the dark valley, it just seems completely black, like everything has rotted, everything has died, everything has gone. And you wonder, how am I going to keep walking, putting one foot forward through the other? One forward in front of the other to walk through this dark valley. And yet Psalm 23 says, even though I walk through the dark valley, I will fear no evil. For you are with me, your rod and your staff, they comfort me. The psalm here trusts that even in the dark valley, whether we can see, sense the presence of God or not, God is with us in the dark valleys too. And God's presence is always somewhat mysterious, right? Because it would be nice if we could see God like we see each other. Wouldn't that be nice? It'd be nice if we could hear God like we hear each other. I know some people who claim to do that. That has not been my experience. I wish God would speak audibly to me because I got a lot of questions to ask him. But that has not been my experience. And yet, God is Father, Son, and Spirit. The Father who sent his Son to reveal God, the Father that sent the Son to be the full, as the fullness of God, the exact radiation and representation of God Himself. And the Son who said, I'm going away. But when I go away, the Spirit is coming. The Father who let His Son be crucified, let His Son go into that darkness. The Father who enters into that darkness Himself, letting His Son be crucified. The Father who said, sin and death do not win this game. Darkness will not stand. So He told His Son, get up, because that grave has no power on you anymore. Death has no more power anymore. Death does not win this game. So God the Father raised His Son, exalted Him as Lord, and poured out His Spirit. So God is present right now with us through His Holy Spirit dwelling in us. God is present with us in our singing, in our praying. When we greet one another and shake each other's hands, give each other a hug, we'll say the holy kiss for some time later. God is present with us. God is at work, redemptively, working for our good, Paul says in Romans 8. Working for our good through this crucified, resurrected, exalted Jesus in the darkness with us, so that the darkness will not remain forever. Psalm 23 says, you prepare a table before me in the presence of my enemies. You know what a table is, right? A table's where you have barbecues, cookouts, good times, right? Hey, everyone loves, I love barbecue. I assume everyone loves barbecue. Brats, maybe some cheese curds there, right? Tables where you gather around as friends and family. Holidays, birthday parties, celebrations, wedding reception, high school graduation. Tables are for enjoying the goodness of life. And you know what Jesus has done? Jesus, throughout His ministry, was constantly inviting people to the table. Jesus is preparing a table for us, which is why we're gathered around the Lord's table this morning, because this is what Jesus has invited us to. He's invited us to a table where there's bread and wine to remember that God is with us. I know this looks like a small table, right? But it's really a very, very big table. And there's a chair in a place that has everybody's name on it. Some people don't know they're invited yet, because some people haven't heard. But there is a place with everybody's name, because everybody is welcome to this table. It doesn't matter whether you're rich, poor, what your skin color is, what country you were born in, what kind of language it is that you speak as your primary language. You're invited, says the crucifixion, resurrection, and exaltation of Jesus Christ. It's a table with a promise, because the promise we see here, that surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life, and I shall dwell in the house of the Lord my whole life long. This is the promise that God makes to us in Jesus Christ, that Jesus constantly was reminding people of as He invited people to the table, invited sinners like you and I. People who had seen the terrible things in life, the darkness, say the darkness is coming to an end. And even though right now, some of us might feel like we're still walking in darkness, God's promise is that He is there with us. Goodness and mercy, God's goodness and mercy is coming. That God's goodness and mercy will follow us as we walk through the dark valley. We walk in the goodness and mercy of God. And that's good news, church. Because even in the dark valley, sometimes we stumble and fall. You know what you do with a toddler that's learning to walk? They fall down. What do? Tell them get up. There's goodness and mercy for them. You tell them get back up. I know you stumble and fall. You're running a race. You fall down. Get back up. Because you walk in the goodness and mercy of God. And that's great news. But then I'm reminded of Donna. Donna's not her real name. But Donna was and is a Christian like you and I. They're almost every Sunday without fail at church. One Sunday, Donna wasn't there. No biggie. Occasionally we get the flu or cold or some sort of slight under the weather thing that we decide we need to stay home. No biggie. But by the way, this was long before COVID. This is about 15 years ago. So one Sunday, Donna wasn't there. No big deal. Next Sunday, Donna wasn't there. So I thought, well, I better call, find out what's going on and everything. So later that afternoon, I call, and I get Donna's husband. Donna's husband wasn't a Christian, wasn't part of the church. Nice guy and everything, but wasn't part of the church. And I said, is Donna there? And he said, no. And I said, well, I was just calling to see if Donna's okay. His response is, well, I guess you're going to have to ask her that. I could tell right away two things. Something wasn't right. Whatever was going on, he did not seem like he wanted to talk about it right now. So hung up the phone. I thought I'd wait a few days. And 2 days later, I get a phone call. And it's Donna on the other end. She's crying. And she says, can you come help me? She said, I'm in a treatment center. I said, I'm on my way. And get there, and what I learned is that Donna was arrested for the second time for a DUI. What would be her second DUI. Except this time, her children were with her, and she was placed in handcuffs in front of her children, adding to the humiliation, the shame. And her husband told her, don't come home. Unless you're done drinking, don't come home because we can't keep doing this. And so Donna, her life is suddenly blown up. She loves her husband and children, even though she's got a problem. And she's scared to death that her life is, she knows it, she's losing. She's going to lose her marriage, lose her relationship with her children. What do you do? I don't think that's the moment where you say, well, shame on you, you should have known better. She's already feeling that. And I know that it's probably going to get harder for Donna, before it gets easy or before it starts getting better. All she do, all I did was say, I hope you know God loves you and God is right here with you. And you got to walk through this dark valley. And it might get darker before you start seeing light. But God is with you. And God's goodness and mercy will follow you. Don has been sober ever since and is still a faithful Christian. I'm just here, church, to remind you, because as I told you, as I tell college students, I'll tell you, some of you already know this. We got our good life to live. But there are also difficult moments in life. Some of you have lived through them already. Some of you might be living through them right now. And there might be more to come. But in that darkness, God is with us. Even though we walk through the valley of death, the darkest valley, we will fear no evil. For you are with us, your rod and your staff, they comfort us. You prepare a table before us in the presence of our enemies. You anoint our head with oil. Our cup overflows. Surely goodness and mercy shall follow us all the days of our life, and we shall dwell in the house of the Lord our whole life long. God is with you in the good times and in the bad. In the crucified, resurrected, and exalted Jesus Christ, sending in the Spirit is God's promise that surely goodness and mercy will follow us. We're going to sing a song. I trust that if you're going through something this morning and you'd like Ken or Troy to pray with you, you can go up to them, ask them, and they would be glad to pray with you. But as we sing, as we go through the rest of our day and go into our week, my prayer is that we will go knowing God is going with us. Let's stand, let's sing.